Let's open our Bibles this evening. We're in 1 Corinthians. We'll be headed back to the fourth chapter. And we'd been studying last week in this fourth chapter about the seven evidences or proofs of a steward. And you find that in the first verse of that fourth chapter where it says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." And we saw that the first evidence was that of a faithful brother or sister in the Lord. And the second one was that that brother or sister would be blameless, would have the testimony of Christ working through their life. Thirdly, we saw that that's done in humility. As we've been studying, rejoicing over the weekend as well too, unless we're humble before the Lord, we'll never receive. You just won't. That's the spirit that's brought low, that can be filled, that can be brought up, that can rise up in a way and in a power that only God can do. Fourth, we saw the suffering. How we need to endure suffering. We need to receive the suffering. And again, as the Word of God tells us, if we suffer together with Him, we shall also reign with Him. And we finally will arrive now at the fifth one, and that's where we left off, was in the 15th verse. And we're going to see that the fifth one here is that of a spiritual father. And it says there, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ," and I think that's a little shy today, but we have lots of instructors in Christ. And again, I want to rejoice as Paul did. "However Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice." And I mean that, brothers and sisters. God is faithful, and He will meet us as what we're going to meet Him with. He said that faith that we'll yield to, that we'll want in our life, He's faithful to deliver that to us. And I know that there are ones, and again I say by the grace of God, that will remain babies. That is all they want, is just to know Him as Savior. And to that I say praise be to God. It's wonderful. That's part of our family. It's a precious part of our family. Now, we do want, and God has given me such a great desire for my own life and for yours, by the grace of God, to grow up, to mature. He wants mature sons of God. That's what this age is for. Again, I think it's so clearly been revealed to us through the Word of God. He would have wrapped this up a long time ago if it was just, in a sense, the salvation, being saved. We understand it would have been done and finished and wrapped up that way. But something was opened. And obviously we read that even in that first verse where it says the mysteries of God. There's many things. The Lord has brought me into a sweet verse that I believe this Sunday He'll bring out in sermon. How those prophets wanted to look into it. The angels wanted to see it. And all those prophets could do was write about it. And it was for us. I think there's a special invite that God is encouraging us to. And it's exciting. It's real. And as we enter into that, and again, this faithful steward, Paul, as we go into the things that God has revealed to him, we will have that encouragement and that excitement too. Can you imagine being excited and encouraged and writing even the joy book of the Bible in the midst of one of the dirtiest, rotten prisons there ever could be? That's where Paul was. That's the joy of the Lord that I want in my life. That is. I hope you're after it too, because it's not predicated upon my environment. It's not about how big my house is, how much money I have in my account, what kind of car I drive, or even if I have a car. It's about Him. Paul lost it all, right? It was taken. It was gone. He gave it up by the grace of God. It was taken. He said, "And I've counted it all dung, but for the excellency of the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Isn't that wonderful? Follow me as I follow Christ. We're getting to that. All right. So, there's many of these instructors, yet have ye not many fathers. By the grace of God, the ones that I believe in my life that I've been able to observe, and we had one in Brother Hill. He cared for me. He cared for you. And by the grace of God, I pray for that spirit. And I believe He's given it to me. I care for you. And I would want to encourage. There's nothing more that I want to do than to magnify the love, truth, and grace of God. And that's what I want for the lives of those that would be in this ministry, that we can touch. And it's not to me. It's just glory and honor to God. That's what He does. But that's the nurturing that we're talking about. It's not to call someone Father, but basically it's that encouragement. It's that shepherd that God can create in us that we can nurture others. For in Christ Jesus, He says, I have begotten you through the gospel. And again, isn't that precious? I think this is just building on from where He was in the third chapter in the 10th verse, where He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. He finally presents Himself again under the authority of God. I'm the master builder. I've been given these mysteries. I, by the grace of God, have begotten you, not by myself. It's through the gospel. And that's the only thing that's going to encourage us in our lives. It's the only thing that's going to build us up. It's the tenderness and gentleness through the trial that Paul is talking to these people. Now going on to verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you. And this beseeching is a painful plea. It's an encouragement. It's urgent. And Paul finally cuts to the chase. And I appreciate this because from the very beginning, he even says in that first chapter, where they were talking about the divisions of I am of Paul and I am of Apollos and I am of Cephas and I am of Christ. He finally says, and I believe he's encouraged of the Lord to say this, be ye followers of me. I don't want you even focusing on anything else. Now, it's not me that you're focusing on, but it's the faith that I'm following. It's the life by the grace of God that's building up in me. It's the life, it's the mystery, it's the glory, it's the gospel of the glory that Christ Jesus has given to me. This is what you need to follow. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he even goes on to say, follow me as I follow Christ. We've already read in Romans that the secrets, the intents of men are going to be judged according to my gospel, Paul's gospel. There's something special. There's something so important. And it's very evident. It's very clear in the Word of God. This is a special minister that God has given us. This is a special dispensation, revelation that was given to this wonderful Paul, the chief of sinners, as he says. This is the message, the revelation of all ages to win God's best. This is it. This is the mystery. These were the things that were hidden, that the Holy Spirit encouraged this brother to say, here it is. This is the whole meaning of this age. That I'm going to take out from them a people for my name's sake. That I'm going to have a bride. That there is going to be a bride that makes herself ready. That there's going to be a people, there's going to be a company that is going to rule and to reign with me. It's real and it's clear. Why so many people don't see this or want to understand this, I still have to say I don't understand, but by the grace of God, I'm thankful that I see it. Now, I just don't want to see it. I want to go after it. I want it to be something that I urgently seek, that I, by the grace of God, will willingly surrender to and say, Lord, this is what it's all about. That this would never become something that's just dull to my ears. But this is the very reason that I live abundantly in Christ Jesus. This is the reason that I get up in the morning, is that I say, Lord, may you come today. And when I go to bed at night, well, thank you, God, that it was just as almost as good as if you came because I was looking for you. That's reality. And it's a sweetness. And it's nothing of ourselves. It's just what it is. It just is what it, as we say, it's what it, in a sense, let it be. Let it, and let it work. Praise God. All right, going on. For this cause, he says, and here's the next one. This is the sixth one, which is the concern. And that is such an incredible thing of a steward, is the concern. For this cause, I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. And I think this is so wonderful, too, because they have Cephas, they have Apollos. But Brother Paul knew, and he talks about Timothy and how that wonderful faith that was in his mother and his grandmother. And he was waning at times, but he said, stir up the gift that's in you, boy. That's what it's all about. But this is a faithful brother. And he's faithful in what? He's faithful in the Lord. How many times I've heard in my life, well, I'm faithful to God. You're never faithful to God. By the grace of God, the only faithfulness you'll ever have is in the Lord. And that's a big difference. And that's the grace of God speaking there. There's nothing of me, it's all in Him. And He was faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. Paul is not boasting of himself. He's boasting of Christ and Christ's work in his life. See, we can boast in our Lord. We can be thankful in that. That's my God. By His grace, when I yield to Him, I have the very power working in my life. I'm growing. Hallelujah. I'm becoming in the same and very image of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can you think of anything more powerful? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Put it all together. Connect those dots. Make it real. By the grace of God, let Him make it real. Praise the Lord. All right. So again, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be where? In Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So again, Paul, even though he's saying, follow me, they're my ways, but it's all in Him, and I teach it everywhere in every church. There was no hypocrisy with Paul. He gave what he gave. He wasn't sent to baptize. I came to preach the gospel. I love it. Preach the word, Timothy. You never go wrong because you're doing the will of God. That's what I want you to do. This is the time for that. It's preaching the gospel. And again, Paul's gospel, to be more specific. All right. Now, some of you, it says here, are puffed up as though I would not come unto you. Again, we've read about these ones that were high and mighty in mind and all of the different things that they were thinking of. Well, they're basically saying to Paul, well, you're thinking that we're so puffed up in our mind and so arrogant and running around doing the things that we think we should be doing that you're just going to leave us alone. Well, here comes number seven of a steward of Christ, godly love. And sometimes we can get awful angry and mad at people, can't we? And we can just turn around and say, give you up. Well, Paul was encouraged in God's love. And even in all that arrogance, and I'm obviously you read his letter here, he was chapped. He was coming after him in godly love. And that's what it is. But he said, as though I would not come to you, he says here, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. That's where we get Lord willing a lot. There's one of those places. Lord willing, we don't know. We just say Lord will. And will not, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. So I'm not coming to you in the words of those puffed up ones, those mental giants, as we read that they're just mental midgets, because their wisdom is foolishness to God. But no, he's coming to them with the very power of God that we read about, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's 1 Corinthians 1:24. It says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Praise His name. That's the love that won't let us go. That's the power of His love, and that's what He wants. So He says to him now, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness? And what He's saying here is, how are you going to receive this? How are you receiving this even this evening? How do you come into this assembly and receive the Word of God? Is it like a rod to you? Or is it in love and in the spirit of meekness? Now, I want to give it out in love and meekness. Don't get me wrong. That's how God, I believe, wants us to deliver His word, is always truth and love. But how are you going to receive it? Huh? See, a lot of people think they see God, the triangle with the eye in it. He's always watching you. No, He's always loving you. And whom He loves, He chastens. And He just loves you. And as that dear sister that's going through that trial said, I couldn't do what God's doing to me, to my children. And it hit me. And I said, yep, you're right. You couldn't love your children as much as God loves you, because He knows what you need. And it's either going to be by faith, brothers and sisters, or we're going to miss the boat. If you try to reason it out, you'll never get it. You just won't. You have to believe that God is for you. You have to accept that He loves you more than anything, that He gave His only begotten Son, that truly He saw you upon that cross, and that was the joy that was set before Him. For I know, that all things work together for my good. I know it, because I love God, because by His grace He's caused me to love Him. All right, going on to chapter 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. Now, fornication, again, is basically sexual relations without marriage. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. So here you got a bunch of Christians, and this fornication that they're doing is even a little bit beyond what the Gentiles are doing. Have you ever met Christians like that? Sometimes I've met Christians that shame the world. How about you? God forbid. But you know what? Can't ever be separated from the love of God. But why not live the power of God? Why live in defeat? And this is where Paul's going with this. There's no reason to live like this. This is just living failure. This is just being a servant of that sin, in a sense of don't let sin reign in your life, is what Paul's talking about here. Get the power of Christ. Yield to the Spirit. By the grace of God, He'll be faithful to you. He can give you strength beyond you, and you're going to need it. You're going to need it. But he says here that one should have his father's wife. Now, this is very interesting here. Most likely, this is talking about a stepmother. And the reason they say that is because it doesn't say that you should have your mom as your wife. So basically, it's saying father's wife. It's still bad. Whatever way you're going to think about it, even the Gentiles, the ones that didn't know the Lord, were not participating in this one. This come out of the wings of the church, I guess, there. I don't know where it came from. But that's the reason it says here, the father's wife. And it's interesting as well in this verse is it's not getting after the woman here. It's getting after the man that's taken that woman. And one of the thoughts of that is because, and it even gets worse for the man here, is because this is probably an ungodly woman. She's not a believer. Because if she was a believer, I'll tell you what, the Lord would be getting after her as well too. But see, unbelievers, there's nothing to do with that. God's word has no effect upon them. It just doesn't. You must believe for this to become power in your life. You're either alive or you're dead. And this is for alive. Okay? That's why to the ones that are dead, it doesn't mean anything to. But boy, I'll tell you what, the ones that are alive and living abundantly, it's everything, isn't it? This is my food. Praise the Lord. This is my strength. This is my Lord. So here we go. And ye are puffed up. It's amazing what we can be puffed up about. Taking my stepmom to wife. Interesting, isn't it? See where the devil can take you? When you quit giving glory to God and quit being thankful. Remember we read that in Romans, right? Again, look at the steps down that you can go. You don't realize where you can go but for God. So again, and ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Basically what he's saying here is that you've twisted the view of grace so much, you should be mourning for this brother. You should be grieved for this brother that's caught into this sin. And yet, you're condoning this. You're teaching it in the church. Now, we're talking about fornication here. This applies to anything. Paul was over there to those Galatians and he said, "Who hath bewitched you, man? Are you made perfect through the flesh? Do you understand, you see that this is the same bondage, it's a similar bondage, whether it's the flesh of fornication or if it's the flesh of self-righteousness?" And basically, these Corinthians, shoot, they went after it all. They were self-righteous and in flesh of fornication. They were doing it all. We might as well just get it all done in one congregation and understand that Paul was sent to this church to get the church in order. So what better example than the one that was doing it all? Let's just cut to the chase and get to one, and then we can write just one letter. And nope, we couldn't just do it with one. We had to have two to the Corinthians, didn't we? And actually, there were more we're going to read about here in a minute that, well, you'll see what I'm talking about. All right. But you want laughable, cryable stuff, read the Word of God. Because it's very humorous, but it's very serious. And you can see these people were just so puffed up in their own imaginations and in their own things. This is where they went. This is how sick it got. And it gets more sick as we'll read through this letter. But here we go, that he says that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. You should be grieved for this, because this brother is departing. This brother needs to be disciplined in the Word of God. This brother needs to be restored. Now, this is a very interesting thing. There are some people then will say, well, we need to expose it. No, that's not what this is saying. Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one. We're sent to cover the sin. I'm not sent to condone the sin. But what kind of minister would I be if it was just a free-for-all to God? And that's really what it's becoming in these churches anymore these days. Brothers and sisters, I know we are all battling. We're fighting the good fight of faith. And the Word of God tells me that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So I guarantee you're battling some type of sin in your life, or you'd be right out of here. I'll close my eyes, I open them again, you're still here. Okay? You do it again, yep, still here. So, you see that God's still working on you. And it's wonderful. And you're still fighting the good fight of faith by His grace, right? Right, okay. Well, this is this restoring that we need to be. I want to be the salve to you, and I hope you want to be the salve to me. Because we're going to go through things. If Jesus Christ tarries, we're going to face things. We're going to face things that you think that you've just come through something that was beyond you. He loves you so much, you're going to come through something again that's beyond you. And it is. He's going to keep challenging you. And you're going to be pressed out of measure. And you're going to despair of your life. If you love me. Yep. I'm glad you're quiet. Because it's serious. This is about winning the best. This is about the best of forever. And you've been invited. That's incredible. That's absolutely amazing. Oh, hallelujah. Man, thank God that it hits us. All right. For I have verily, picking back up in the third verse, has been absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done so, that hath so done this deed. So Paul, it's not that he was judging it. We're going to read later on that God's the judge. But he had discernment. He had wisdom. He knew what was going on. I pray to God that that's one of the gifts to pray for, is that discernment. We need to have that, brothers and sisters. Pray for it. I want to be ignorant of certain things, but I don't want to be ignorant of the things that the Lord wants to show me. I want to know these things. I want that kind of discernment. I believe God's given it to me. I'm trusting Him for that gift. And He said, pray for all of them. Covet them. Ask Him to give you those things. Those gifts are for today. And He does want us to have them by His grace. So, he saw this. And how did he see this? And how did he know that this deed was going on? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is wisdom. He's wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. But the very first one is He's our wisdom. And this is the wisdom that Paul was in. This is the enlightenment that Paul had. When ye are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the very empowerment. To deliver. This is an important verse. A lot of people get confused about this. So let's look at this together here. Verse 5. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Well, now you can see where people could go with that. Say, you could just be delivered right over to Satan. You're not a child of God anymore and it's all over. And that's absolutely not even close to what he's saying here. This is basically one that is not accepting the restoration in a life. That doesn't want to change. That wants to stay in that sin. That is choosing to go that way. And in that, there's no fellowship. And in that, finally, that fellowship breaks. And this is what the Lord is encouraging us to do, is the fellowship has to stop. And that brother is just going to go with sin. That's all they're going to do. They're going to stay with that. And let me tell you something. Destruction of the flesh will come. Sin destroys a life, and it's evident. And sin destroys Christians' testimonies very quickly. And you've seen it. I've seen the etching, and I'm sure you have too, over the years, of many people that have just went the way of sin that were just as much a child of God as one that had been living with the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord for the last, say, 50, 60 years. You can see it. They carry it with them. And it's sad. But if you want to go that way, God will let you go that way. He'll deal with you. But a heart can become so hardened. I've seen it. You've seen it. And you don't understand it. It may be even in your family that you see this. Where all you can do is pray. That God break that. I remember Brother Hill saying, Lord, whatever it takes. And God forbid what it could take. Are we after His best? Do we believe Him at His word? I believe I want to. But He's never going to force me. He's just not going to force you. That's not the God that we have. This is free will. And that's what He gave us, is to trust Him for this. So again, this is giving that over. But it goes on in verse 5, and I love the hope that he ends this, just this little verse with. That the Spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. See, there's that praying, there's that tarrying, that the testimony would be awakened in that brother or sister's life. That they would come into that fellowship again. But again, we need to stand and withstand and stand in defense of this gospel. It's important. It's important not to compromise. There's things going on that I believe that God in our assembly has given us great love and encouraged us in His love. As I said, and I want to know you to know this very well, these doors are open to anyone who wants to come into fellowship. Absolutely. I don't care what they've done. God's already forgiven it. I'm coveting His fellowship. But I'm going to tell you this. But by His grace, we're going to stand in defense of the gospel. God has blessed the preaching and the ministry. I'm not saying about a building, but at this place for years. By His grace, His blessing is still here. And it means so much to me. It means everything because it's His. It's just like Paul said, I'm understanding this stuff. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with Brother Hill. It had nothing to do with Brother Copley. But it had everything to do with God's best. And that's the truth. You're going to come after me? I want to come after Him. I do. And He said, I'll give you nothing short of all the will of God. I'll give you nothing short of all my truth. I'll give you nothing short of all my glory. That's the truth. Oh, it is. And praise God that we can fellowship with Him like that. Verse 6. Your glorying is not good. He was pretty blunt, wasn't he? I love that. Okay, we're going to get you off the high horse now. Your glorying is wrong. Now, as Christians, when we're caught up into these things, we can be deceived. I'm telling you. But it's very easy. Is what I'm doing, does it align with the Word of God? Well, I don't want to look at that part of the Word of God for my life. It's the truth. You know what I'm saying. We're going to read about a little leaven the whole lump. It creeps in. Yeah. Leads them astray. Silly women, calls them. Silly men too, ladies, so don't feel badly. It's just silly mankind. I don't want to be led astray. And the truth will keep me in that way. It's not myself. It's the Word of God. And that's by His grace what needs to be so sovereign in my life, so solemn to me. My guiding light is the Word of God by His grace. So they were fooling themselves. It's kind of interesting at this time too. It's been going on for some time, but it's gaining some popularity. It's called preterists. Kind of a bad name anyway, so it's fine. They can call themselves that because it's a bad thing. According to the Word of God. But basically what they preach is that in 70 AD, the Lord came. That's when He returned. And we are in the kingdom age right now. I'm telling you the truth. Big group of them over on the western slope of this state. And it's growing. Mm-hmm. Well, if this is the kingdom age, oh man, did we miss it. And I just, you know, I'd like to, I guess, you know, I don't want my child playing with the poisonous snake. And I don't see the lamb laying down with the lion yet. And I don't see all men rejoicing and praising the Lord and knowing God. It's not. We know that. It's just silly. But see, what's happened here is they're fooling themselves and they're trying to distort the Word of God to fit their lifestyle. It's exactly what they're doing. Exactly. Well, I'll change this because I can distort truths in the Word of God so that I can live this kind of lifestyle. We're getting more and more people that are having children out of wedlock. We have more and more people that are living together. I appreciate if your affection towards somebody. I think it's a wonderful thing if God's directing it. But God's not directing that. He's not. He would want you to be married. Just the way it is. That's God's way. And they found out that this trial run living together before you get married, there's actually a higher propensity to get divorced after that than ones that just got married anyways. So you might as well close your eyes blindly and just jump into it because it's a mess, right? No, I'm just kidding. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. It'll be a peace to you. It'll be a rest to your life. It really will. It will. It may not be the easy thing to do. A lot of times it's not. A lot of times it's not the popular thing to do. A lot of people think that you're stupid. A lot of people will think that you're old-fashioned, as they say. Oh, those are archaic thoughts. That's exactly what they were battling here with these Corinthians. They were the mental giants. They were the ones that were the cerebral folks that really could think about things. And they've pondered this. And they really knew what really was for man. I'd rather go to the Creator to find out what's for me. I want to go to the Creator. I'll tell you, I'm learning more and more about flying all the time. And an engine is a special thing to a plane, by the way. I want you to know that. I found that out, okay? And one of the greatest things is, I'll tell you, you get opinion on these engines from, you go to a different person, that one person will probably give you 6 different opinions in the conversation about what you should do with that engine. Well, just go to the maker. Find out, you know, what kind of oil it needs, where it needs to be serviced, all of those things. And that's an important thing when you're flying. How much more important really, though, is your life and living the life that God wants you to live? Really. Nothing to be compared. It's the truth. God knows. So, going on. So, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? There's another saying there, too, that goes with it that they used to say in the times of biblical was a scab lamb affects the flock. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As ye are in leaven, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We're going to talk about this leaven in a moment, but I want to read a couple verses here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. All right? He's called you to holiness. Because you're holy. He's called you to righteousness because you're righteous. Let's go over to Romans, see if this can come together a little bit for us. Chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves? This is a choice. Here's your choice. To whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Okay? You're going to go after mammon? You're going to go after this world? That's who you're going to obey? That's the servant you'll be. You'll start to look just like them. You will. You go after the Lord, you'll start to look just like Him. You will. Praise the Lord. And it is a praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whether of sin unto death, and that's exactly what the world will bring to you, will be death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. There was the yielding. He was commending these ones. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Your flesh is weak. All of our flesh is weak. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, this means in past, and to iniquity, unto iniquity, or sin to sin, and that's again where we get that sin begat sin. It does. You go the way of sin, a little leaven, it's going to leaven the whole lump. We've got to root this thing out by the grace of God. We've got to give it to Him. We need to understand that when sin comes into our life, and this is the reaction of the full overcomer of Christ, it's immediate, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me. Don't get comfortable resting in sin. Don't. That's where sin reigns in a life. That's where that life will be defeated. That's where that life will sit. And then iniquity begats iniquity. And that's exactly what this is saying. Even so now yield your members. There's the choice again. Yielding. Servants to righteousness unto holiness. Yielding begats promise, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. As we yield to this, He promises He'll deliver. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ delivers. Exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. And that's a fact. And I know if you've gone after the Lord for any time, you know it. And I know those of us, which is all of us, who have went after sin for seasons of time, it begats death. You start to die. And you do. You do. Your testimony. Your life, it's not abundant, is it, anymore? It doesn't live like it can live. Amen. All right. I'd like to finish chapter 5. Therefore, verse 8, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Okay. Now, we've been reading through the 5th through this 8, this 6th through the 8th verse about this leaven. And the whole backdrop of this passage is the Passover that you'll read in Exodus 12. This is where they're getting all this. And this was when the Israelites removed the yeast from their home in preparation of the feast. And the reason that they did this is this removal of the leaven was a reminder of the Israelites' quick departure from Egypt. And it was a quick departure from Egypt, if you remember the Exodus. It really happened just like that. And the thing about this leavened bread was they did not have time to wait for the leavened bread to rise. It's kind of cute, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful how that worked? They didn't have time to wait for the bread to rise. They didn't have time. And that was the leavened bread. That's why they put the leaven in there, is for the bread to rise. They didn't have time for it. So the point here is that a little leaven has tremendous impact in and to our lives, doesn't it? You'll miss it. A leavened life misses it. And a leavened life misses the trump. And it does. It really does. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I hope you understand that. But it's maturity. And you think about mature adults in the natural. Ones that are really have a maturity that you would think of are a wonderful kind of a... I guess there's really not just someone that in a sense has arrived into being a good person or something like that. Somebody, again, that's mature. They have a discernment. They have a wisdom about them. They have the maturity that when they've made a mistake, they come forward and they say, well, that was my mistake. Mm-hmm. They don't try to hide it. They bring it before the Lord. This is talking about the man of God. And say, Lord, deliver me. Took David a while to get that, didn't he? Like when he was with Bathsheba and all, and the precious prophet that came to him and said, you're the man. And he finally went to the Lord and he said, Lord, before thee and thee only have I sinned. Yeah, let's get it right. later on in his life how precious it was. He said, "Oh, search me, Lord. If there be any wicked way in me, oh, get it out of there. Lead me in the way everlasting." See? David even gave that to the Lord. He realized that there were even things about his life that he may have not even known. Now, the ones that are evident to you that you know, Lord, search me. Let's deal with it now. Any root of bitterness here this evening? Let's let Him root it out. If I'd be otherwise minded in things, Lord, reveal that unto me. If I don't have love for all the saints, Lord, let me have that love tonight. And it can happen that quickly as we yield to Him and have that kind of faith. I want to be ready tonight. How about you? I do. I believe He can do that. I believe all things are possible to Him. There's nothing impossible for God. And He said that He wants me to come into a full knowledge of Him. He didn't tell me how much time it takes. I know it's a patient race. I know that there's time and I know it's on His timing. But I want to be fully surrendered to Him now. Right now. To say, Lord, take this from me. Take my life. Mold it. Make it what You will. Now. Not later on, but now. There's a difference. Remember we talked about resolutions? I don't want them. I want to be resolved. That means now. Now. Okay. I think we get the point. So, we talk about this leaven. The Corinthians church was tolerating, obviously, this sexual sin. They were also tolerating these ones that were puffed up in their own imagination. And the leaven of sin, even though it was small in size, it was dangerous because it could spread through the church. And they were condoning these things. And these are probably some people that were high up in this church. Maybe it was an elder. I don't know. Maybe it was the pastor. I don't know who it was. But they were condoning these things. These things were becoming very common. And they were just accepting it. Well, that's just the way it is. Okay, we'll just accept it and go on with the Lord. We're still preaching salvation. Still maybe even preaching, well, I'm sure they were. That the infilling of the Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues. They were talking about the gifts. They were talking about all these things. But they were allowing this stuff to come into the church. And it was robbing them. It was robbing their lives. They weren't going to be ready for the exodus, were they? Isn't that wonderful? I love that, how God was speaking to me. I want to be ready for the exodus. There's an exodus coming, and it's the exodus. And it's called the trump. And when it sounds, amen. And when it sounds, I want to hear my name. Praise His name. And the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. Oh, praise God, ever to be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's the exodus I want. But He's got to, by the grace of God, encourage in me to get out the leaven of my life. And it can be a lot of different things, but the leaven needs to go away. All right, so again, just that tiny pinch of leaven can contaminate the whole. And there was disobedience that was going on here. Going on with the thought of the leaven, the Jewish people were required to leaven out their houses. They had to sweep all the leaven out of their house in preparation of the Passover. You'll find that in Exodus 12, verse 15. The leaven here, again, symbolizes the powerful influence of sin in a life. Now, going on with the thought of the feast, it's a figure of the speech of Christ, or for Christ. As Israel was to remove all the leaven from the celebration of the Passover, so the Corinthians were not to contaminate, and think about that word, contaminate, their relationship with Christ with wickedness. I want to fellowship Him purely with Him. I don't want to bring the wickedness, and it's not going to be able to be brought. It's going to contaminate the fellowship. I cannot serve both God and mammon. Can't do it. I cannot be part of the world and yet be fellowshipping with the Lord like He wants me to fellowship with Him. It cuts deep, brothers and sisters. It does. But when He said again, "Will you go?" You're going to have to go. And you're going to have to leave it. And He even got real personal. It wasn't just the world. It was mother and brother. And it was everybody. It was, again, in spirit, He has to take us there. That, Lord, are You first and foremost? Are You my first love? That's really what it is. First love. First love. Whom I want to be with. Whom I worship and adore.
that His desire is toward me? Is that the one that I want to apprehend? Praise God. All right, let's continue to go on. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now, this was an epistle that we don't have here in the Word of God, but obviously we have something here. I mean, we have this as far as in this epistle here, but this is maybe insinuating he wrote them other letters about fornication, and there's other letters that Paul refers to that he had written that are not, in a sense, part of the Bible, but I'm sure they were wonderful words of encouragement. In verse 10, it goes on to say, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous of extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. So what he's saying here is, I'm not speaking for you to withdraw from the world. We could not function and function as Christians, in a sense, if we were taken out of the world. We're being tested in this world. This world serves a wonderful purpose. And in John 17:15, I'll read that to you real quick. That's John 17:15. It says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Isn't that wonderful? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Like we were talking about Sunday. I don't fit in. Why not? Well, I'm not of this world. I'm of Him. Praise God. My citizenship is in heaven. But the Lord has divinely set us to be in this world. We are needing to deal with this. This is the fighting the good fight of faith. This was the place that God foreordained that we would fight the good fight of faith in. He can't just keep us, in a sense, in the greenhouse all the time, right? In the hothouse, as Brother Hill used to say. The lotus land of ease. We've got to get out there by the grace of God and show that, again, the power of God in our lives. We are to stand in influence by the grace of God, not run away. There's power. There's power that's for us. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer, that means abusive, or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. Now, before we get into this fellowship, which is this word eating is fellowship, I'll give you two verses, and you can just write them down. In 1 Corinthians 16:20 and 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with a holy kiss, always and in love. And that was to all the brethren. All the brethren. I need to love all the brethren. You need to love all the brethren. So often I see that this parting of fellowship, there parted the love of God in my life toward that person. Shame on me. I'm to love all. I am. That's what God's called us to. To love as He loves. That's always. There's a difference. And the difference is the fellowship. And I want us to make sure that we really hold that dear. It's not, again, that I'm standing in judgment toward someone, in condemnation toward someone that they're caught into that. What did it say there? I should be grieved and mourning. That's part of my body. That's my brother or sister. When my brothers and sisters, and I know they feel the same way for me, are in problems or issues or have things going on, I hurt for them in the natural. I hurt for them. And that's the truth. I had an ulcer for one of my siblings in a situation they were going through. Probably wasn't the right thing to have. I was lacking faith there, but I loved them. Did. It affects your body. How much more so your spiritual body? What do you think? That's the forever one. You're my family. I grieve and I hurt. We want God's best. We want it to work. But we're talking about here where it says to not have to eat with one. This is the fellowship. This is, in a sense, the light and darkness issue of where somebody's wanting to dwell in. The issue of yielding. I know in 2 Corinthians 6:14 it says, be ye not unequally yoked together. Now that's talking about believers and unbelievers, but there is a semblance here. If that one is going to go and fellowship with the world, that's not where I need to go. I've heard many people give excuses. Well, I'm going to go there because I'll go witness the Word of God in these certain situations. You're not going to witness the Word of God there. You're not. Now, God in His infinite mercy and grace, He can come in. but there's a more perfect way. And there is. So I encourage us to get in with what the Lord is telling us and get into harmony where He wants us to be. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. In closing, let's turn to 2 Timothy 4:2. And I think this explains really what he's getting at here, especially for these ministers, especially for this church, and especially to his brother Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the word. The word, the truth, that's the compass, that's the direction, that's the blueprint, that's everything. Be instant in season, out of season. Doesn't matter when it is. Preach the word. Adhere to the word. Reprove. That means to convict. Rebuke. That says it all. Exhort with all long suffering, and right back to doctrine. Brothers and sisters, we've been called to stand. God does the judging. You're not to judge. You're to discern, but God does the judging. And by His grace, we stand in love. We stand in truth and love. And that's where He wants us to be. And that is so sweet to know that I'm in Jesus' way when I'm standing in truth and love. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You again for Your word. We thank You for Your presence here this evening. We appreciate Your spirit of love. Lord, just anoint hearts to receive. Let this work effectually. Let us believe Your word. Take it as a truth, Lord God. Not just apply, but Lord, just let us live. Let it work in us. Let it work in us effectually to change us from glory to glory, even to the very image of Your Son. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.